see is the battle. You see my victory. When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain move. As I walk through the shadow, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high.
glad to see you this morning and see the sun out. At least it was out this morning earlier. And we heard it, or when we saw it, we were so excited to get here. We've been worshiping and just really enjoying God's presence this morning. So we're excited to have you with us now. And we're going to continue our time with Him.
Washed, I am drenched in love.
Found.
say good morning. All right. Well, good morning again to everyone. We are so glad to see everyone here this morning. Aren't you glad to see some signs of spring? Amen. Oh, you got to be happier than that. Yeah. Yay. Woohoo. All right. Well, a couple things. We just want to welcome you. You guys can sit down for just a minute if you'd like and get ready for the worship set because you're going to be dancing during that. So you'll need a little bit. Right? Larry was dancing earlier. So, we just wanted to welcome you here. One of the ways that you can keep in contact with us, get all the information, is through our QR code. If you just hold up your phone, take a picture, it'll take you straight to our digital bulletin where you will find all sorts of information. This morning, we're having a giveaway. So if you go to it now, you've got time, and you can sign up to be in the drawing later on in the service for what Pastor Dale is going to be giving you this morning. So we want to make sure that you're aware of that you have plenty of time to do that. So also during the week, you can check the calendar, all sorts of things on that digital bulletin. So we want to make sure that you guys are aware of that. And then also on the digital bulletin, we also want to make sure that you guys are aware that there is a prayer card and a connect card. So if you haven't been here before, we would love you to fill out that connect card so we can connect with you during the week and just welcome you. We want to say hi. We also want to make sure that if you need prayer and we're not able to get to you this week or today and you want us to pray for something, we are honored to pray for you. We take it serious and we really love doing it. So fill out that prayer card. They're also in the back of your chairs too. If you can't get to it real quick, you can take that and fill that out as well. And then we will have the ushers come forward this morning. There is different ways for you to give. You can give online, as you can see right above me or on the side of me. You can also text to give, and you can just put things in the offering plate as well. So you're welcome to do that. But as our ushers are coming up here, let me just pray with you this morning, and we'll welcome the Holy Spirit in as well. So, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for being here this morning, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the day that you've given us and the signs of spring. Thank you for sunshine. And Lord, thank you for moving in us. I thank you for the fact that we get to come into a building and worship you. We are honored to be in your presence, Father, and it's just so great to be surrounded by other believers and other people that want to be here with you. So we thank you for that. We thank you for this offering. Lord Jesus, thank you for first fruits and for how you will bless it. And I just pray, Lord, that we will give with a loving, joyful heart, and that you will bless it, Lord. So thank you. Be with us the rest of this service, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to continue our time of worship with you guys. And we had a really sweet time this morning as we were practicing and coming into our worship time. We had little Andrew's kids were in the back dancing with Zeph, my son. Bill and Nancy were back there dancing. And Larry was walking around praying and dancing, and it was just a really wonderful time. So God is here. He's already beat you. So we're going to continue that time together and enjoy his presence. Once those offering plates have gone by, please stand with us, and we will worship together a mighty, mighty God.
Our hands together.
you are, yes, you are. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring. Let the praises ring.
Send that praise to Him. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Jesus. We've been singing our hearts out to you, Lord, because we love you. And you are good. And you are mighty. And Lord, you are a God that cares about all of the things that have been going on in our lives all week. But right now, Jesus, we want to come and step into your throne room and sit at your feet and tell you how much we love you and be taught by you and be teachable. And Lord, I thank you for how you meet us. I thank you for all the people that got up this morning and made a huge effort to get here. I thank you for the little ones that were dancing in the back earlier today. Just singing their praises because that's what they're wired to do. So I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for how you're going to move through Pastor Dale. I thank you for the way that you will take all of these scriptures that he gives us and the lessons that he's worked on to tell us that you've laid on his heart and will apply that this week. Lord, I pray that you'll awaken our minds. Awaken our hearts and line them up with you. Lord, help our hearts and our thoughts to be pure, to wait on you, to listen. And Lord, we thank you for meeting us here this morning. Thank you for giving us notes that we can put together and sing a song to you that's about you. We thank you for that. And we praise your holy name, Jesus. Be with us the rest of the service. Anoint Pastor Dale. Protect him as he walks up here and opens his sword. I thank you for what you've laid on his heart this week, Jesus. Bless it. And I pray that we will live for it. And we ask all of these things, Jesus, in your precious holy name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Great to see you. A little more lively on this end of the spectrum, which is unusual, but you guys are lacking, so I'll give you one more chance. Good morning. Okay, it's pretty much a tie then. All right, well, listen, it's great to have you in worship. I'm glad that you're here. Hopefully, God is speaking to you even before we get an opportunity to open the Word. It's just excited to be with you in worship. And just a couple of things that I wanted to bring to your attention before we jump into this morning's time of teaching, but last weekend, we did our annual church meeting and our church board elections, and I just wanted to tell you the results of that. I sent you an email this week, and it's in the digital bulletin card this week as well, so the information's already out there. But we elected four new board members. All of the NMI president, the NMI delegates, the district assembly delegates, you all voted overwhelmingly to send them, so thank you for that. And the four church board people that you elected are Andrew White, Jen Geoffrey, Alicia Lance, and Curtis Farmer. So they join the other three board members, Lisa Hochman, Bernie Vail, and Cyril Smith. And so you have elected a new church board for this year. So let's just give a big round of applause for you guys and for the church board. I think maybe next week we'll just have a time of installation. We'll pray over our church board. Some of them are out of town this week because of travel and business and things like that. So we'll do that next week. That's one item. The other item would be this. We celebrated a milestone this week, maybe unbeknownst to you, but a couple who have kind of overseen most of what you don't get to see, right? All the things behind the scenes that stay clean, that stay maintained, that stay up to speed and up to date, you don't ever get to see that. You only see it when it doesn't work. But when things do work, there's usually two people that we have always leaned on, and one of them is deciding to retire. I don't know why. I guess, you know, you get to a place where you're like, look, I want to enjoy my life. But one day I'll get there. But in the meantime, we wanted to honor Cindy and Jim Rumsey because of all that they've done. Jim's going to take a step back and play pickleball and do all the other things. So, Jim, would you stand? Cindy, would you stand? We just want to say thank you for all that you've done. Again, what you don't know is usually on Monday morning when you guys are all doing your thing, Jim is wandering through the building going, oh, that light's out. I got to change it. Oh, the sink is dripping. I got to get after that. He has been the glue that holds us together. So we're going to miss him sorely. I don't know what's going to happen now. We may come in and no lights work and all the faucets are rolled. I don't know what we're going to do. But thank you from the bottom of our heart for all that you've done. Lastly, we didn't get a chance. It got to me a little late in the week to get this up on the screen. But there are three community worship nights going on this summer. And May 9, June 13, July 18, I don't have any information to give you. You can Google it because I did it this morning. Just look up Woodland Park Community Worship Night. It's going to happen at a church in town. I think Emmaus Church. I think that's correct. But anyway, if you're into modern worship, they're gonna do three community worship nights. It'd be good to maybe join other churches and worship God for an off Sunday morning night. So I want to bring that to your attention, and we'll just roll from there. All right. Woo! How many of you have kids? How many of you were a kid at one point? Okay, good. That's pretty much everybody. I found something here that that determines not all the way around, but these are good indicators as to why we love kids so much. And if you don't love kids, just sit tight for a minute and indulge the rest of us. But why do we love kids so much? Well, number one, they're so innocent. Kids are so innocent. There was a woman who was driving with her three young kids on one warm summer evening, and a woman in the passenger seat of the convertible in front of them with the top down, that woman stood up and began waving, and she didn't have any clothes on, which is dangerous, of course, but there are other, you know, implications as well. So this mom was completely freaked out. She's scrambling for something to tell her kids when the 5-year-old shouted from the back seat, "Mommy, that lady is not wearing a seatbelt." Kids are just so innocent. Kids are so unfiltered. There was a mother who was trying hard to get the ketchup out of the jar, and during her struggle, the phone rang, and so she asked her 4-year-old daughter to answer the phone, and the little girl said, I'm sorry, Mommy can't come to the phone right now. She's hitting the bottle. All right? They're just unfiltered. Kids are so smart. We love kids so much because they're just so smart. There's a little boy who opened the big family Bible, and he was fascinated as he kind of rifled through the pages of this old book. And suddenly something in the Bible fell out. He picked up the object and he looked at it, and what he saw was an old leaf that had been pressed in between the pages. He spoke, "Mama, look what I found," the boy said. And Mama looked in and said, "What have you got there, baby?" And he said, "Mommy, I think it's Adam's underwear." Kids are so smart. Finally, kids are so cute. While working for an organization that delivers lunches to elderly shut-ins, a man would take his 4-year-old daughter on the afternoon rounds, you know, intergenerational things. She was unfailingly intrigued by the various appliances of old age, particularly the canes and the walkers and the wheelchairs. One day, she was staring at a pair of false teeth soaking in a glass, and she turned and whispered to her daddy, "The tooth fairy is never going to believe this." Kids are so cute. Of course, then they grow up. And then they start talking back, and the cute kind of wears off, you know. Michelle and I became parents at 28. We had made an attempt earlier, and things just weren't working. And so for 5 years, we were like, "Lord, if it's your will, we'd love to be parents." And so God, obviously, he blessed us. We now have three kids. But I remember back in the day when we were trying to have kids, I really believed in my heart that I knew everything about being a parent. And then I became one. You know how that works. And the truth of the matter is, we love our three kids, and I bet that you love your kids too. And why wouldn't you? They're a gift. We're told in the Word, Psalm 127 says this. The psalmist writes, "Children are a gift from God." I know you have hard days with your kids or even your grandkids, but God Himself tells us children are a gift. They are a reward from Him. We're in a series now in the middle of it, round four of six, talking about the fight of your life, and these next few weekends are going to be kind of honing in on our children and maybe your grandchildren or our nieces or our nephews. There's something here for everyone, but we're talking about the fight of your life. Some years ago, the youth pastor for Saddleback Church in California there wrote a sermon. And the sermon was called Raising G-Rated Kids in an X-Rated World. And I read his sermon, and I loved it. I just kind of fell into it, and I loved it so much that I stole it, and I re-preached it to the parents of the students that I was a youth pastor for myself. Raising kids in a G-rated world. But had I known then what I know now, I don't know that I would have re-preached that sermon. After all, Michelle and I didn't raise our kids to be G-rated. You guys know what G-rated is, right? There's a thing that comes up every now and then in front of movies that says G-rated general services or general audiences. Do you know what the top 10 G-rated movies of all time are, by any chance? Of course you don't, but I do because I did the homework this week. So we're going to start at number 10. Are you ready? Number 10, Toy Story. Anybody seen it? Yeah, of course. It's an awesome, it's a favorite at our house. That's number 10. Number 9, Wall-E. Oh, that's a big hit in the back corner. How about this one? Cars. Okay, you're getting in the spirit. What number are we on? No, so that would be 10, 9, 8, 7, right? Doesn't matter. Toy Story 2. Because Woody is awesome, all right? And then Monsters University. We're going down, but we're getting higher here. Anybody not seen Monsters University? You've never seen it? Oh, it's such a good movie. Michelle and I caught it on TV last Sunday. We were vegging out thinking, you know, well, let's just turn on the TV, and there it was. All right. Then in front of that came Monsters, Inc. It's even more popular. Yeah. And then Finding Nemo. You scuba divers and saltwater people lovers, that's your hit one. And Toy Story 3. I think that's number two of the movies or something. I don't know where we are. Lion King. The real version, not the old animated one. Come on. Sorry. I don't make the rules. I'm just the messenger. And then Toy Story 4 rounds out. Yeah, I know. That's top 10 G-rated movies. We don't get very many G-rated movies anymore. I know that you probably aren't paying attention. If you don't have kids in the house, it's tougher and tougher to find G-rated movies. But G-rated in the movies means general audiences. It means general. Generally speaking, general anesthesia, generally communication, general. When I began to really think about that, it didn't sound like the kind of parenting that I wanted for my kids. Just, you know, general. I wanted something more. For my Austin and my Caleb and our Hannah, our three, our Austin, Caleb, and Hannah. We wanted more for that. And so Michelle and I, we made an intentional decision to not raise our kids generally. We raised our kids PG, parentally guided. We wanted to make sure that we were inserted into every aspect of their world, not to control them, but to do what we believed that God had given us the responsibility to do. That is, to guide and to raise and to teach our kids in the ways that we believe are the right ways, to help them succeed in their lives, both here on earth and maybe even more importantly, in the next life, eternally. So we wanted to raise our kids PG. Moms and dads, God has placed in you or on top of you, you are the front line of the fight for your kids. I don't know that I could say that more poignantly. God has given you, moms and dads, the front row seat in the front in the fight for your kids. You are the first and you are the last line of defense in the lives of your children. I threw that last line of defense in there for all of you parents who may be parenting your teenagers. There was a study done just a few years ago talking to teenagers. And everybody thinks that once a teenager hits adolescence, they want nothing to do with their parents. And you know what? That's kind of the impression that you might get. I know, I had three. But the truth of the matter is, mom and dad, if you're in that arena today, you still are the most influential part of your child's life. You're the first line of defense. You're the last line of defense in the lines of your children. And I should tell you, I'll remind you, there is a fight for your kids. Parents, here's the deal. Your job is to launch your kids toward independence. Your job is to launch your kids toward independence and away from dependence on you. Your job as a mom or a dad is to prepare your child to become well-adjusted, socially acceptable, economically viable, psychologically stable, emotionally prepared, spiritually grounded. Your job is to help them establish these things in their life. Well, PD, that sounds a little old-fashioned. That sounds like, you know, that's kind of old school. You know, this is today. This is 2024. Things are different. Well, you're right about that. Things are different. Things are so different. But I believe that they've changed so dramatically because we've abandoned some common sense, biblically verified principles of how to raise our kids. I'll just tell you that I've never seen, and maybe you haven't either. If you're older than me, maybe you have a little bit more perspective. But me, in my short years, I've never seen a more anti-Christian bias in our modern media than what exists today. Never. I used to be like front row here. I used to be youth pastor, right? I've never seen anything like it. Now, it's not a blatant, in-your-face martyrdom of Jesus followers in the town square kind of thing. Nobody yet is going door-to-door, dragging people who believe in Christ out into the town square to kill them. I know that. Rather, this anti-Christian bias is a subtle, slow discrediting of God's word and a dissolving of the values that the Bible teaches. You do know that if you were so inclined, if you wanted to empty the Walmart without causing much attention, if you didn't want to draw a lot of attention to yourself, but you wanted to empty out the Walmart, you wouldn't pull the fire alarm. That would draw too much attention to you. You would instead walk around quietly telling people that there are much better deals on Amazon.com. And then one by one, they just leave the store and go order online. That's how the world has done it. They've slowly eroded what God has put into play in terms of raising kids in a biblical way. And regular moms and dads naturally worry about the physical perils of raising kids. The bullies in the classrooms. The pedophiles that are creeping around the park, what's appropriate for them to watch on TV or at the movie theater or on the internet. Most parents are concerned over them getting high or drunk or pregnant before marriage. And while all of those things certainly are a genuine threat to the safety and security and stability of your kids, I'll just tell you, there's an even greater, more sinister danger to the future welfare of your children. And that is the ideological and theological quandary that we've slipped into here in America, manifested by the discussions that your children are having without most of the time your knowledge. The discussions that they're having with other kids or other students. The conversations they're having with teachers or at school or professors at college. The conversations that they're having with people hundreds or thousands of miles away on the internet that you don't know anything about, the conversations that you won't hear and that you probably won't have input into. And the only weapon that you have, moms and dads, grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle, the only weapon you have is to prepare your children before those moments occur. That's the only weapon. You've probably heard it said that the best defense is a good offense. And that's true, especially when it comes to your children. And I'm convinced that God creates our kids with a basic operating system. But since we're human and we have free will, we choose deliberately to download whatever additional software programs that we think our kids will need in order to survive or thrive. So moms and dads, it's up to us on a macro level what they get exposure to. That's a sobering thought. It's up to us to help them and to understand what they need to have exposure to. This is a sobering thought, but it doesn't have to be a paralyzing thought. There are some basics that parents need to install, download into their kids. 8 statements that I want to give to you this morning. 8 things that you should absolutely say to and live out in front of your kids on a daily, consistent daily basis. 8 downloads that they will need that will help you as you fight for your kids and as they fight for their lives. Number one download, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, aunts and uncles, the number one download that we need to be regularly paying attention to and giving to our children is, I believe in you. I believe in you. When you believe in someone or believe someone, you're placing significance on them. You're saying to them, I think you're true. I think you're the real deal. How much importance do you think that would place in the heart and the mind of your little boy or your little girl? I believe in you. I trust you. You know what I loved about this one? This one jumps to the top of the list for me because it's timeless. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young they are, because they're still your kids. No matter how old they get, you must believe in them and give them wings to soar. I believe in you. I still find myself, my kids are awesome. I've got one that just finished, being in the belly of a submarine. He, billions of dollars of stuff that he gets to mess with. I have another son that flies Black Hawk helicopters, hundreds of millions of dollars. They've got other people telling, pouring into them, but I still feel like I need to tell them, look, I believe in you. My little girl, who's not very little, I believe in you. It's important, moms and dads. Second one is this. You can count on me. Which you may not believe that about yourself, but you better get convinced. You better tell your kids, you can count on me. There's an old story. Pardon me. There's a story of a father. He took his young little son out, and he stood him on the railing of the back porch. He went down to the ground level, and he stood on the yard, and he encouraged the little guy to jump into his arms. Come on, trust me, he said. After a lot of coaxing, the little boy finally decided to jump. It's a long way when you're a little man. So he finally decided to make the jump, and when he did, the dad stepped back and let the child hit the ground. And then he leaned down to him, and he said, don't ever trust anybody. That's the exact opposite of what we want to teach our kids. We don't ever want them to think that there's going to be somebody that's going to try and get their confidence and then pull the rug out from under them. Don't be that person. They need to know, your children need to know that when the crap hits the fan, if I'm not allowed to say that, you can call me later, but when life hits hard and it gets thrown all over the place, your children need to know that they can count on you. See, here's the thing. If your kids don't have a healthy sense that they can trust in you, who they can see, how in the world will they ever develop a trust in a God that they can't see? There's a bit of a warning on this one. It doesn't mean that you won't make mistakes. I promise that you will. I have, and I will continue to. You're human as I am. You will make mistakes. Sometimes you won't be able to follow through the way that you intended to follow through, but that's exactly when the trust factor comes into play. When your kids know that they can count on you no matter what, the mistakes that you make will be forgiven. That was number two. Number three is this one. I treasure you. You are of massive importance to me. I treasure you. You really do matter. One of the greatest battles that we humans have to face is self-esteem. And I've seen it happen. Maybe you have too. People who've gone, or people who have over the top talent, they just, everything they touch turns to gold. They just can't miss. But they never are allowed to use it because they have such a low opinion of themselves. They get into a situation and they just self-destruct. Do you know where that comes from? Most of it comes from mom and dad. Isn't that where you got your esteem? Isn't that where you developed your early sense of who you were from mom and dad? Take a few minutes every day, parents, and let your kids know that they are a treasure to you. They won't be perfect. But they're yours. You will still have to discipline them every now and then. But when kids know that they're valued, it lengthens the runway for their takeoff. It helps them to know that they're loved and treasured and cared for. That's number three. Number four. You guys getting these down? No? Well, we can wrap this up right now. I'll just pray and we'll let it go, okay? Number four. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. This one sounds pretty self-explanatory, but it's more than just asking your child for forgiveness. It seems simple, but it's more than just saying, I'm sorry. It's teaching them humility. It's teaching them how to be a person of grace. Did you know this? This comes directly from our Heavenly Father. Way back in the Old Testament, Second Chronicles says it this way, God speaking, if my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek after my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will restore them to the land that I had given to them. This is more than just asking for forgiveness from your kids. Without over-spiritualizing this, humility sets our children up to accept the fact that they too will need to ask for forgiveness from others, and maybe more importantly, from God himself. Folks, don't leave this lesson for somebody else to teach your kids. Don't wait for somebody else to teach this idea of humility and asking for forgiveness from other people. Be proactive. Humble yourselves and teach your kids that forgiveness is a necessary part of life. They'll make mistakes. They'll let other people down. It's okay. Learn how to be humble and forgive and ask for forgiveness. It's not weakness. It's power under control. Number five, this one's not a very popular one, but it's a mandatory one. Learn how to tell your kids no. I know this is harsh, but it's not harsh. One of the greatest things, mom and dad, that you'll ever be able to teach your kids is that sometimes the answer is just no. No. And you've probably seen it. I know that I've seen it. I've been witness to the reality that some parents have missed on this one. Not you guys. You're great. But I've seen some parents who have just missed this opportunity. Clinical child psychologist Wade Horn said it this way. He said, what parents need to understand is that their primary job in being a parent is not to be their kid's friend. Your primary role is not to be your son or your daughter's buddy. You can be a parent and their friend, but you can't just be their friend. They will have plenty of other people to call friends, but they will only have one mom or one dad. No one else can be their parent. And mom and dad, there are times when you just have to take a stand and say, no. The answer today is no. In 2008, some years ago, Jane Hambleton and her husband bought their then 19-year-old son, I believe his name was Stephen, he bought him a 1999 Oldsmobile Intrigue. Now, if you're a parent of an older teen, have you ever bought your children a vehicle? Just a few of you. All right, so you remember what that's like. When your kids get to 15, 16, you're like, oh my gosh, they're driving a car. Yikes. So this set of parents decided to buy this 19-year-old a car, and mom had two rules, only two. Number one was no booze. None. Number two was keep it locked. Keep the car locked. And so when in a normal time of discovery, maybe an inspection if you want to call it that, during one afternoon when she discovered alcohol under the seat of her son's vehicle, she thought to herself, I'm going to have to come up with a way to deal with this. And so she did. She came up with this innovative and a very public way to teach him a lesson. Instead of calling him into the house and just riding him upside and down the neck, she decided a better tact. And so she decided, they were in a small town, she just took out a classified ad in the local newspaper. And this is what she said. Old's 1999 intrigue. Totally uncool parents who obviously don't love their teenage son selling his car. Only driven for 3 weeks before Snoopy mom, who needs to get a life, found booze under the front seat. $3,700 or better offer. Call the meanest mom on the planet. Listen, sometimes the best thing that you can tell your child is no. But I want my kids to have more than what I had. I want them to have better than what I had. Then teach them what no means. Teach them what no means. Guess what? One day, you're not going to be able to be there to give them everything they want. And if you haven't taught them what no means, they are not going to be able to have the tools to cope with that situation. Listen, you and I are not being responsible parents if we don't teach no. Good parents, successful parents, know how to instill the value of delayed gratification. Well, PD, my kid wouldn't understand all that delayed gratification stuff. She just wants what she wants. Well, okay, that's why we have number six. Number six is because. Another download for you to instill in your children is because. There are just some things that your kids aren't going to understand, and you're going to have to be tough enough to take the heat and tell them, because. Because. If you're trying to teach your kids why it's dangerous to be on the internet without mom or dad around, they probably aren't going to completely understand why. You know what? They don't have to understand all of it. That's what you're there for. Your job is to make sure that they stay away from that thing. You're responsible for protecting them, even when they don't fully understand why. Because you don't know everything. You don't understand everything. Even God knows that. Look at what Isaiah, another Old Testament prophet from a long time ago, he writes this, just as the heavens are higher than the earth, God speaking, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You know what God is saying? Because you have to trust me, because my thoughts are higher than yours. My ways are higher than yours. It's just because. And as we mature in our faith, we just have to come to accept that God is smarter and he's wiser and he knows more. We just have to trust him with some things, which ironically takes us back to the number two download, because you can count on me. You can count on me. Number two download. Because at the end of the day, you can count on me. The next download, I love you. I tipped my hat on that one early. I love you. This is a big one. I guess instead of just saying I love you, it should say I love you no matter what. I love you no matter what. One of our kids is harder to convince this than the others. He would ask me sometimes, Dad, what if I did fill in the blank? Would you still love me? How about if I did, would you still love me, Dad? He just couldn't take my word for it. I had to convince him. One of the greatest examples of I love you no matter what is a popular story in the New Testament. Chances are you've You've heard it, maybe read it, maybe memorized it. It's the story of the prodigal son, Luke 15, where a son turns his back really on his whole family, and he takes off and he takes family money and he squanders it, and everybody's thinking that guy is a waste of life. What a loser. Bye. Everybody. Except his dad, who waited for him to return. Didn't know. And one day, dad's looking out over, you know, the land, waiting for maybe that one day, and he sees his boy running. And his son is thinking in his head, there's no way that dad's going to love me after this. I blew money. I lied a little bit. I'm just going to go back. I'm going to ask him for a job and ask him just to let me be one of the servants. And to his great surprise, his dad jumps up and says, I love you no matter what. Mom and dad, tell your kids you love them no matter what. It's one of the greatest privileges that we have as parents. It's a high def 8K picture of God's love for us. Which takes us then to number 8. Our final one today is that this one you need to tell your kids. Jesus loves you even more than I could ever love you. As much as I love you, I would do anything for you, but even more than me, Jesus loves you. Moms and dads, teach your kids that Jesus loves them more than even you could. I don't know any other way to say this except just kind of giving it to you. More than teaching them math, more than teaching them to fish, more than helping them get to college, more than providing a good life for them, more than memories of the Grand Canyon, more than providing a financial inheritance for them, more than any of that, your job, mom and dad, is to point them to Jesus. Amen, PD. I know. To teach them, to model for them how to get to heaven. Is there anything? Is there anything that could be or would be more important than teaching them how to live their best life today and how to live forever with God? Is there anything better? And if that's the goal, then the very best thing that you can do for your children is to spend time with them. And I don't mean just be in the same room with them as they're on their little device and you're scanning through the channels. I mean to be with them so that you can download these 8 things to them on a regular and consistent basis. The only thing that you can't make on your own and the only thing that you can't get back once it's spent is time. This isn't just for when they're running under your feet. I know that there are parents of young children here, but if you have teenagers, I will say that this might even be more important today because your time is getting even shorter. Pray for your children. Maybe even more importantly, pray with your children. If you have adult children, you are still on the job, mom and dad. Your kids still need to know these 8 things, and there's no one better to hear it from than you. Well, Dale, you don't know my situation, and you're right. Maybe I don't. And you may feel like you've lost all kinds of credibility. You've said one thing and done another, and you've let them down, and they don't even want to hear you anymore. Can I just give you some advice? Then start today with being consistent and a person of integrity. Mean what you say and say what you mean and show them. You can always start over. WP NAS wants to be an integral part of this journey with you. We want this church to be a place where you feel like this, it's a life-giving place to raise kids and to have kids discipled and students and all of those things. And so we're going to do something a little different this summer. We're going to be strategic. We've made a plan that's going to be a little disruptive, but I hope it's going to be worth it. I believe it will be. This summer, we're bringing our kids K through 5 in with us on Sunday mornings. We're going to bring them into worship with us. We're going to include them in our worship service. We're going to model for them how grown-ups who love Jesus worship the King. It's going to be fun. We're going to do some things a little differently, but honestly, where else are they going to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus except in the house of God? Where else are they going to learn what it means to be a worshiper of Jesus except when we gather as a church to worship? Where else are they going to learn to be a giver to God except here? Are they going to learn it at the movies? Are they going to learn it on the internet? Come on. It's our job. It's your job. Let's teach our kids well. Can I pray with you before we go? Would you stand with me as we get ready to go, and then I have a blessing, and then we have a giveaway. Lord, I don't know that there's anything more important than to talk about on a Sunday morning than how to raise people, children specifically, to love you. We're reminded of the story of when you, even yourself, Jesus, chastised the disciples and the leaders of the group when the children tried to gather around Jesus. No, Jesus isn't only bothered with kids. And you reprimanded them. No, that you got this all wrong. Let them come to me. Come on. God, help us to be people like you that love our kids so much that we'll do whatever it takes to teach them the ways of you, and how to love you, how to serve you. I pray a very special blessing on moms and dads of young children, even now. What a world they have to teach their children in. When it seems like all the arrows are pointing in the opposite direction of what we believe in and what we want our kids to believe in. What a world. So I pray, oh God, that you would give mommies and daddies strength in these days. Give them perseverance and strong legs and shoulders to carry this weight. Help them to be people of prayer. Help them be good examples. Help them to learn what forgiveness from you means, and so that they can extend that to their children. Help them to know the value of grace. I pray a special prayer over parents of teenagers. What a world our adolescents are growing up in. I ask, oh God, for guidance for these moms and dads who are fighting daily to keep all the bills paid and all the activities, you know, on the calendar in check, and still have the strength and the endurance to love on their kids. I pray, God, that you would give them a mighty infusion of your Spirit today. I pray you'd be with parents of adults. Maybe their children they won the lottery. They're Christian, they're going to church, they're serving you. That's awesome. But maybe it's not like that for some moms and dads here. And I ask, God, that you would continue to pour your Spirit into these moms and dads who maybe have graduated into grandparenthood at this point, that you would convince them, oh God, that their job is not done. They are not being sidelined or just stuck on the bench. But maybe even now is more important than before, that they still have a role to play, discerning being wise for their adult children, being good examples of what long suffering means. Thank you for your church. Thank you for a place that we can gather and do all the things that we talked about today. Help us as a church to be all about students and children and their parents, that we would take seriously the Great Commission, Lord, to go into all the world, go into all the age groups, make disciples. Thank you for allowing us to gather today in your name. I pray for those who aren't here with us. Maybe they're at home. listening on the internet, or maybe they're sick and they're just not feeling well today. I pray, God, you would speak to them. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for all that you've done. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name today. And may God bless you and keep you. May he lift his countenance upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift his face to you and download into you the greatest thing that he could give us besides his sacrifice for us. That is his peace that will sustain you and keep you and hold you and protect you when we just can't figure it out ourselves. May God give you his peace. It's in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I pray. So before we go, I have a giveaway. Yes, I do. It's back here. Before you leave, I left it back over here. This one's a box of talking point cards for kids. I think there it is. It's on the screen. And if you don't have any kids, maybe you can adopt some. Or if you don't want to do that, maybe you can give it to a family that has young kids. I don't know. But here we go. We're giving one thing away this weekend, right?
Yes.
Okay. How about this one right here? Is this good? Okay, let's see. How about that? All right. Is Andrew White still here? I'm pretty sure he has young kids. Is that true? Awesome. You'll love that. Thank you. God bless you, brother. You guys have a great week. I hope to see you next Sunday, God willing.
There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you. So when I fight, I'll fight on my knees with my hands lifted high. Oh God, the battle belongs to you, and every fear I lay at your feet, I'll sing through the night. Oh God, the battle belongs to you. Oh, oh. And if you are for me, who can be against me? Jesus, there's nothing impossible for you. Oh, when all I see are the ashes, you see the beauty. When all I see is a cross, you